we're live.
What up? Let's get weird. It's your boy, Tommy G, here with the Wednesday edition of the Steak Hashin' Show. I've spent the last hour and a half laughing at Pat McAfee's show, Joey Racketts, and their conversation about the Buffalo Bills' new stadium. So I'm sure Evan will cover that in the headlines. What's been going on? I don't know, Evan, if you saw it too much, but
Racketts, did you catch it?
It just happened. I was crying. I was literally crying. I called Bill. I was crying, laughing so hard. Racketts, do you want to tell us a little bit about, did you see their conversation about the Bills' new stadium?
Yeah, they were talking about the statues of the three Buffaloes that are going to be outside the stadium. And, like, I thought the same thing with the first rendering. They're like, these things are going to be fucking huge. Like, how awesome is this? And then, like, they went into the thing with the actual developer, and they're like, yeah, they're not going to be, like, 40-foot Buffaloes. We decided to make them, like, 16 feet tall and just put more detail in them. And McAfee's like, you can't make these things fucking 16 feet tall. He's like, everybody's just going to scale them, riding these things all over the place. And he's 100% right.
I think it was Boston Connor, wasn't it?
Oh, it was Boston first? Connor.
Connor said it first. He's like, that's scalable for Buffalo people. They're going to be jumping off this fucking thing.
Putting tables underneath it.
It's true, too. They are. They definitely are.
It was funny. AJ Hawk was talking about the bison. They kept saying bison. It's a bison. It's not a bison.
We call it
his
bison.
Dick. His dick.
What do you call it?
It's a bison.
Bison.
With a Z. Zon. Bison.
Well, it has an S.
I know, but it's not bison. We don't say that here.
I say bison. Bill,
it's
what do you
Buffalo
say?
Buffalo bisons. It's not the Buffalo bisons.
Bison. Buffalo.
Well, you're saying bisons. Like, we're not Chinese. Like, it's bisons.
It's not, though.
But it's
why are there three of them?
Well, I don't know. Honestly, I think it was. I think that they're gonna
like the three wise men or something. Three wise.
I don't know.
Three Bisemen.
Three Bisemen.
I don't know. I have no idea.
I like it. That's good, Tommy.
Yeah, I think.
I thought they were gonna name them after the Bills, but you can't do OJ, so maybe it's just Kelly Thurman and Andre Reed.
I don't know, but Evan, you almost got fired in the pre-show.
Not my fault.
Bill?
Yeah, not his fault.
Okay.
Cool. I'll let him
know. He's safe. He's safe. All right. We thought the countdown on the show, we thought it started ahead of time, like 2 hours before.
Because the first thing to come up with Steak Hashin' was last Wednesday's, it said Wednesday's, you know, bets. Mm-hmm. And I click on it like I always do, and comes up 4.5 minutes to go, but it was last Wednesday's show. Mm-hmm.
That's the timer we have. YouTube puts a timer automatically on your videos when you schedule them to happen. So you say 2:05 so people get here early. So we do 2:05.
So we start at 2:10. Because we start at 2:10.
Right.
Right. So that countdown is just the pre-show countdown.
Yeah, but it's so
until I make the stream live.
So the stream goes live at 2:05.
Correct.
And then you have a 5-minute countdown.
Correct.
Okay.
But it's so weird that they put up last Wednesday's show when it wouldn't, like, if you search.
Well, that may have been Evan.
Wouldn't it put up?
I didn't see that.
Show? Like, why would it put up
Bill.
A whole?
No. Evan puts up the show.
No, I understand that. But when I searched it, like, every time I go on YouTube, I just put in Steak Hashin'. All right, click, and it comes up, and I click on it, and I'm in, right? Mm-hmm. Watch the show. So I did the same thing I always do, and it came up Wednesday's show bets. Click on it, just like today is Wednesday's show bets. Oh, came up as that was last week's show. I don't know why YouTube wouldn't put yesterday's show there.
You know what I'm saying? Wouldn't be me. That's an SEO thing. That's out of my
control. I didn't put Wednesday Steak Hashin'. I just put the Steak Hashin'.
The bottom line is Evan's job is safe for another day.
Get better. Right?
Is that the ruling?
Yeah. We're good.
You're firing YouTube?
Yeah, YouTube. You're in.
All right, so YouTube's fired.
You're in some hot water, YouTube.
All right, so YouTube's on probation. YouTube, you're on probation. You've been warned. You're on watch. Evan, how you doing today?
Bruins lose again. Told you guys to stay the fuck away from them. They suck. They lose every single game in overtime. Don't know what that's about, but they're horrible.
Dude, why didn't I bet that again?
Tommy,
it was Edmonton.
I can't remind you to bet everything.
I'm the one who discovered.
I've got
the
my
Bruins losing in overtime.
Got my own problems. I can't.
Discovered the Bruins losing in overtime, but did they lose in overtime again? Yes, they did.
Yes.
Yes, they did. Fucking Christ. We didn't bet the game at all. If you ever don't like the Bruins on a bet, the rule is to bet them to lose in overtime.
Do we know, like we probably don't, but do we know if they're losing all these overtime games in the 5 minutes on the 3-on-3?
Or some of them are shootouts. Some of them are shootouts.
But I wonder if is it like even pretty much, or is it like a lot? Like,
are they just bad at 3-on-3? They're not a fast team, right? Like, that's the thing. So it probably would be negative for them because they're not a very fast team. Like Edmonton. Edmonton's lightning. You know, you put McDavid and his line out there and they're just fucking running circles.
I really wonder, I mean, I'm probably not going to look it up, and after the show ends, I probably just. But if someone wants to do it while the show's going on, let me know. I'm very interested. Yeah. For the next couple minutes.
Yeah. So for those of you that don't know, I actually put out one overtime bet all year, two, on two different games on one day, plus 360. And it was the Bruins overtime game, and it went to overtime, plus 360. The Bruins have 15 overtime losses this year. 15. So Florida's ahead of them in the standings. They have 4. Toronto has 8. I'm going in order of standings. Toronto has 8. Red Wings have 6. Tampa has 6. Sabres have 4, right? Then you get to Montreal Canadiens, who have 10 and 3. You go to the Metropolitan Division. Rangers have 4. Hurricanes have 6. Flyers have 8. Islanders seem to have a decent amount, 14. They have a lot, too. 9, 8, 4. It's very strange. The Islanders are 27 and 20. The Bruins are 36 and 13 with 15 overtime losses. That's an insane number. There's not a team in the whole Central in the West that has over 9, and there's not a team in the whole West as a conference that has over 11. Somehow the like second best record in hockey has 15. It doesn't make any sense. And they're only like 6-15 in overtime too. So they played like 22 overtime games, Evan. That's just their losses in overtime. They played 64 games, and I think they're 7-15. And overtime. So they played a third of their games go to overtime.
It's ridiculous. It's crazy.
Yeah, it's nuts. And that's why you see a lot, those of us who are the subscribers, little niche trick here. You see me a lot of times, I take the team playing the Bruins plus 1.5 or plus 2.5 in a parlay with another plus 2.5. Because even if they lose, the chances are the Bruins aren't going to beat them by 3 or 4. They're going to beat them in overtime or beat them at the end of the game. They let teams hang around. So that's enough for hockey. Rackets, let's go back to the Buffalo Stadium here because we had a different angle on it. I know the McAfee show did a great job of the humor side of it, right, with the fucking three Buffaloes. But you are from Buffalo. This is something, obviously, it's near and dear to your heart. You're excited about this stadium. You go to Bills games. You're a big Josh Allen fan. They're one of your 18 favorite football teams. So, you know, we'll go to you on this one.
Third favorite,
third favorite. Is it the right move for Buffalo to not have a dome?
No. But it's not even close just because, like, Allen, the biggest part of Allen's game going forward is going to be his arm. Like, his legs are only going to deteriorate throughout the life of the contract. And you're not built to run the football. Like, right. He's built to run the football now, but the stadium's going to be around for 35, 40 years.
In 5 years. Yeah.
It doesn't fit this team. This team is built like a dome team.
Yes.
And they're going to be more of a dome team because it's going to be more on Allen's arm than it is on his legs.
Yeah, and they're trying to add speed, and obviously their running game, they don't even run the fucking ball. They throw the ball 50 times a game. So I do agree with it on some level. I do agree that the old Buffalo Bills teams had a gigantic home court advantage, living in Buffalo, playing in Buffalo, used to the snow, used to cold temperatures. So when you see like the Kansas City-Miami game, right, like when you see a team like Miami go to play in the cold, they're dead. Right? Like, they have no fucking chance. The Miami shouldn't even be in that division, honestly. How Miami's in a division with New York, Buffalo, and New England doesn't make any sense when they're all down here in the warm weather. But they have the same advantage when you go down into fucking, 100-degree humidity. You know, they have the same advantage on the opposite side. But, Bill, do you think they should be building a dome down there? I think you think every team should have a dome.
Yeah, every team.
I don't agree with that. I think it kind of kills football if every team's in a dome. Like, part of the football is conditions.
Football weather. Yeah,
they play the most important game in a beautiful place every year. So
the final game of the year, the Super Bowl, is pretty much. I mean, it wasn't New Jersey.
So if you have weather affecting every single game throughout the whole season, but then they don't want any weather on the most important game.
I don't think the most important game is played in a dome because they don't want weather. I think the most important game of the year is played in a dome because it costs $3,000 per seat, and you're not going to sell it out in 30-degree temperatures when you got all the fucking rich people.
They did it, Giants Stadium.
It ended up being a nice weather day also.
Nick, the champ has your Bruins overtime stats. 3-3 in shootouts, 8-15 in overtime.
8-15. So 3-3 in shootouts, 8-15 in overtime. So they're, what, 11-18? Wow. Yeah, that's insane. That's too many overtime.
They don't even get to shootouts.
You know? You can't go to overtime that many times. So 3-3 and 8-15. It's 11-18. They played 29 overtime games. Evan, 29? They've only played 64 games on the year.
Just trying to beg for a point every night.
Dude, literally. 29 overtime games out of 64? That's like half.
Yeah, that's fucking crazy.
That makes no sense. Why haven't I been hitting over? We just need to. Overtime's like plus 350 on their games every day.
I mean, yeah.
Right, Rackets? That means it's like a 30% chance, 28% chance. You have to bet it every day. You got to just bet it every day.
You got to bet it every day.
You got to just bet overtime. Yeah.
Stick to it and bet it every game.
Yeah, because if they've played.
Like when they've played, Bill Rupp.
Yeah.
We'll get to that in a second. So if they've played 36 non-overtime games and 29 overtime games, it should be like minus one. I'm just trying to run math. It should be like plus 170. I think
plus 150,
right? Yeah. Like somewhere in that range.
54% ish.
Yeah. If you're getting 55%. Fucking plus 350, plus 320, anything over plus 250 is a steal. So we're going to just do Bruins overtime rest of the year, assuming they're probably going to get more tired as the year goes on, too, right?
Sorry, 55.
I mean, 100%. Probably should see it more. So let's do it, especially if you see an Islanders or, you know, one of these other teams, Kings, Kraken. Interesting. That's the edges you get here that you don't get on other shows. Wembanyama. You got to hear Trevor, Bill, pronounce Wembanyama. He called him Wembanyama the other day.
I like that one.
Wembanyama.
Before you get
into your mama.
Real fast. So the Bruins play tomorrow. 60-minute line draw is plus 320.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You're getting like 320 to 350 every time. I bet it a couple times. So yeah. We're going to start doing that. Keep in mind. You got to do it the rest of the year. You can't pick.
You have to do it every game.
You got
to
do it every day.
You can't just pick your days.
Just throw a unit on it every day for the rest of the year.
You have to keep going.
You got to keep going. It was like, Bill, with your first baskets to start the year, right? Started like 0-6, and it was like, you got to keep going. And then you went 8-9 at that, like the next 10. So 8-2 out of the next 10. So that's what we're going to be doing. So add that to the show. Evan, this is another chance for you to get fired. You're the Boston Bruins guy. You got to remind us every time the Bruins play to bet the overtime on the show.
All right.
Yeah, instead of telling us not to bet the Bruins.
I mean, he was right. I think Rackets is pivoting back to a conversation when me and Bill went to war in the Discord last night, which we'll chat about in a little bit. Wembanyama, Bill, you fucking nailed that from the beginning. We said on this show 2.5 weeks ago, every fucking 6 weeks, Bill finds a stat, whether it's Harden steals, Westbrook turnovers throughout the time, where he finds a stat that is dead wrong because someone switched positions. Wembanyama's been playing more in the post. Wembanyama's shooting 40% from three, by the way, over his last like 25 games. Kid's finally becoming the thing we thought he would become. So, Bill, you told him Wembanyama 3+ blocks was like minus 130 when we started betting it 3 weeks ago. You said start slamming it, get your money in because it's about to move. Now his 3+ blocks was minus 320 last night, and I think he went to 3.5 blocks, and he got that pretty much by halftime, right?
Yeah, he got it right after half. He had three.
It's insane. He doesn't even need to jump, dude. He just stands there and goes like this. It's like me blocking Ian.
Yeah, exactly.
It's me fucking with my kid, dude. Just nope, you're not getting it.
Just like that. Yeah.
It's crazy, bro. It's free money, but if you haven't been betting it, and I mean, you're out of your mind because it's just been free. And like I said, they're gonna keep moving it. And he had 7 blocks last night.
Seven.
I mean,
so ESPN, you screwed up. ESPN bet. So I was betting.
Are they fired?
When they raised it to 3.5, I was betting 3 blocks and a steal, right? To get.
Because he gets a lot of steals, too. Because again, his arms are so fucking long.
ESPN bet took it away. Killed him on it. And then they put 1.5 steals, right? And they lowered. They wouldn't give me the half steal. And guess what happens last night, ESPN? He doesn't get a steal, so
fuck
there
you.
You go. I took the 3.5, minus 120, easy money.
Let me just read you Wembanyama's blocks. Bill jumped on it on the third game against Sacramento was when he started promoting it heavily. Since February 12th, which is almost a full month ago, about 10 games ago. 10, this is blocks. 10, 3, 5, 5, 5, 4, 5, 6, 7. And it was 3 for about 7 of those games at like minus 160.
And he jumped probably 6 times and out of all of those.
Yeah, and he jumped once. But Wemby's been on fire. I didn't have the greatest game last night, but we're seeing a lot of 25-point games, 31-point game against the Pacers a couple days ago out of Wembanyama. He looks like he's coming around. There's something else that's coming around, boys. Does anyone know what else is coming around? Right at the perfect time for T-Sizzle, Tommy G, sneaking in.
March Madness?
He's talking about the Bucks.
I'm talking about the Bucks, baby. The Bucks are on a six-game winning streak. No Giannis.
Lillard played awesome
problem.
The other night.
No problem. L.A. Clippers, Lillard drops a 40 bag. Six straight wins for the Bucks. Doc Rivers is back. The Bucks are back.
He got his doctorate back.
Oh, he's got his doctorate. We're ready to rock. And Bill,
Glenn.
Big four-game stretch for Glenn and the Bucks here. At Golden State, at L.A., at Clippers, at Sacramento. How many of these games do you think my Bucks, now that we're into getting into March, how many of these games do you think my Bucks
really
win?
They should win all four. Because the Warriors.
All right, but it depends on Giannis' status, obviously.
Warriors right now, they were playing great, and then they lose by 50. The Lakers, you just, like we said, they could beat anyone any night or lose to anyone. They can lose to the Hornets in Detroit, or they can win by 50. I mean, it's just so strange. Kings, same thing. And the Clippers have just been playing all bad.
I told you, the Clippers are not as good as people think. There was a
Clippers
team
and Suns are
what a great streak.
Fourth quarter, man.
They're just not.
These teams just implode.
The Suns are good, bro, but they have no bench.
But that was the problem with that trade, Bill. They traded their whole bench to go get this fucking, this big three.
And then the problem
and they got
is
nothing behind it.
The Beal's not going to last the whole playoffs. So, that's good. That's the problem. I mean, Clippers have a great bench, but it's just, I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see what happens.
What are the odds right now? I'm just looking at my FanDuel account. I have a $500 bet on Bucks Denver in the finals that I think the way the West is looking, I think it's literally just Denver walks at this point.
I don't know.
I don't even think they need the 3-point shooting or anything. I think they just walk there because you got to imagine the Denver's not even. I got plus 1500 on Milwaukee Bucks to beat Denver, plus 1500, 500 to win 8000.
Yeah, but Denver, they just didn't look good at the end. I mean, the Suns.
They got it all the way to overtime and then fucking.
I'm not worried about them though because they're a team like the Bucks. They shouldn't care about anything till the playoffs. This team is multi-time champion, three-time MVP. This team's going to turn it on once the playoffs come. I'm surprised they're winning as much as they are right now when they should be having championship hangover.
And then I thought the Mavs were going to – they sent the trade. They were playing great. Kyrie and Luka.
No.
And now they're shit again.
Like, it's Denver.
Got killed last night.
It's Denver. Denver's sleepwalking through the season, and they're still 42-20. Championship hangover, a real thing, dude. These teams sleepwalk through the season. You saw it with the Chiefs this year. The fact that Denver's 42-20 is insane.
Listen, I'm still sticking with the Lakers. The Lakers get there. I think the Lakers get to the Western Conference Championship again. Tommy, they took the team that I thought they were going to take. They took OKC, put them over their knee.
OKC's fake. It's another one. Like, they're really good regular season
teams. They're not fake, though. They're, like, one of the best teams.
They're really good regular season teams. Fake. I'm going to make you a prediction of what happens here to your Lakers, okay? The Lakers better get up into that 8 seed before the end of the year because Denver's going to end as the number one seed. That's going to happen. They're going to turn it on in the last 10 games. They're going to get up there in the number one seed. They're only one game out from first. And if the Lakers or Golden State, whichever one of those two teams walks in as that 9-10 winner, ends up running into fucking Denver in the first round. They're gone round one. Golden State can't beat Denver, and neither can the Lakers. So whoever wins in Denver round one is fucking by Felicia. It's out. So the 7-8, yeah, you're going to get a Minnesota or an Oklahoma City, whichever one hangs on in that spot. So yes, that I agree. But if Denver moves into two, Bill, the Lakers got to just be watching Denver, right? Because if the Lakers are, if Denver's moving up into two, the Lakers want to drop down, right? Mm. You want to get away from them and play Minnesota. If the Denver starts moving up into one, the Lakers need to move up. So I think they just need to stay like this because not only, Bill, are you going to be the NBA does the bracket, right? They don't reseed like the NFL. So you're going to be on the other side of the bracket for the whole playoffs. So the Lakers need to strategically figure out where Denver is going to land in the last five games and get away from Denver so that they can meet them in the conference final. Then they have a shot.
And they're one of the only teams in the West that match up good against Minnesota too, because Minnesota's really tall. You know, going to have the defensive player of the year, Gobert. Yeah. And the Lakers.
And Edwards is fucking the joke in the playoffs. He fucking.
Yeah. I mean, AD will dominate.
Yeah.
That fucking team. LeBron will
Let's bring Howie in. Do we have another headline here? I know we got to get to golf. We got golf coming at 2:40, so I don't want
to
run too long.
I told Howie to come at 2:30. He should be here any second.
Okay. Just pull him up when he comes in. What else we got on headlines?
Well, we got Archie Manning thing, the Kelsey thing, which are the two smaller ones. And then we have last night Ryan Garcia saying he was abducted by the elites and forced to watch blah 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 at Bohemian Grove.
Yeah, I mean, let's move.
Did he like sacrifice himself for his kid or something? Did he not want to give his kid away, Tommy?
Who? Garcia? No, supposedly Ryan Garcia had an opportunity. Ryan Garcia came out on Andrew Tate's show saying that he was forced to be tied down and watch kids get raped for fame, which is one of the things I've been telling everyone.
Yeah, but why did he leave his wife and his kid right after she had the kid and everything? Yeah,
I'm assuming that'll fuck you up a little bit. Maybe make you not the same husband she married after seeing something like that. Again, I don't want to push it because I don't know if I trust Andrew Tate, who blocked me on Twitter when I challenged him, and Ryan Garcia as much, but I will be digging into it. There's another comedian that came out today, Howie. I don't know if you saw this. Comedian came out today and said Matt Rife actually blew two executives to become famous. I don't know what the comedian's name was.
Boy, that's really surprising.
Yeah, Nimi something. So, I mean, it's all coming out. Cat Williams fucking blew the lid off it. And you're going to have some people just saying nonsense to get clicks and like, and you're going to have some people who are telling real stories. Our job is to differentiate between the two.
Or just report it all and have fun.
Just report it all. It's all going on anyway. We know what's going on anyway. We know everyone. After Weinstein and Epstein and all this, you know,
you
anyone.
Figure it out. I don't care.
You know what's going on.
I'm just here to tell you.
That's the kid. That's the kid who, you know, I say I don't really like comedy because I think these guys are funny. But Matt Rife, that's the guy. I like him.
Of course, you would.
Yeah.
You would.
That dude would
like an
par for the course.
Dude is fucking funny.
You would love someone with no talent who loves to suck executives' dicks to get.
Funny, dude.
Listen. Listen, your views on everything are wrong, so why not be that?
Well, you should listen to him. He's funny.
Go listen to Matt Rife. Fucking took a load in the face to fucking get on.
Isn't that the dude that Lisa Ann got thrown out of the fucking show for?
Yeah, I don't even know.
Camera?
I know nothing about him. I just saw clips on YouTube flipping through, and the guy's fucking funny.
I have no idea who he is. He just
crowd work. He does all crowd work.
Crowd shit.
Well, I mean, that's the lazy comedian's move, Bill.
That's kindergarten. That's
the crowd work is what you do when you start fumbling the ball on the stage. You go to the crowd.
Why don't you fucking do it?
I do, literally. That's what this show is. You are literally fucking
tear you apart.
You are literally crowd work for me.
You're okay, crowd
so work. That's this whole show.
Let's start.
No, we got to hurry up. We got golf coming on.
Let's start the NCAA. Come on.
Yeah, we're going to NCAA.
Where do you want to start? You want to start with last night?
Yeah, we'll start with last night. You got your first win out of the last three. You moved to 1-2.
I dominated you the past 3 years, and then I'm on.
When we weren't keeping track,
you're getting straight
in the hash.
Just like Howie was 3-1 against Duke. Yeah,
you're getting slayed in the hashtag. You're getting slayed on the show count. But three years ago, you won.
All right, sure.
Howie's catching shrapnel. He just got on the show.
I see 2-1 on the show count. So I don't even know what's going on there.
2-1 me.
Well, it's 2-1.
Tommy told me to do it. Don't fire me.
Creighton versus UConn.
But you said 3-1. So it's
Creighton,
2.
No, it's 3 games. Creighton versus UConn. And then when you told us all not to bet the Bruins against Edmonton. And I told you it's not the same Edmonton team when we went to war when I was doing my NHL.
I know, but why? I thought you had 3.
No, I had 2. I have 2. You have 1. You got Purdue last night. You're on the board. Well, it's 2-1.
You're saying you were up 3-0.
Well, because I thought I was going to win Illinois last night and then go to 3-0. But the refs decided to cheat their ass off.
Oh, was it the refs?
It was definitely the refs. Howie, what was your thoughts on that Purdue game? Someone who Bill Rupp declared did not know how to gamble yesterday.
Hey.
I forgot about that.
Oh, Howie didn't.
Well, no, I'm talking about Florida. I had Florida wheeled with about 17.
Minus 267?
All right, move on, Bill. Go on, Howie.
You brought it up. You just said
because you said it yesterday. I mean, Howard made fun of you yesterday through text.
Go on. Me. I didn't put out the 267.
I remember you fucking talk on a gambling show saying people can't gamble.
I didn't say his bets were bad. I said he doesn't know how to gamble them.
I did bet Tuesday, and I made 40% on that. I mean, it won. Both of them hit pretty easily.
Listen, I didn't say it didn't win either.
It did win. So
I like the bet. I had the same bet.
Shut up. It's college basketball segment. Shut your mouth.
I bet it twice.
God.
Well, I was in the yesterday. What were you guys?
I was up units. Let me see right here.
I had five or six.
I was up units. I was up units yesterday. I was up 3 units college basketball yesterday. Even with that fucking disgusting Illinois game. Howie, what'd you think of Illinois?
I mean, that game, look, the bottom line is this. Illinois just plays no D.
Yeah.
They don't play D, man. Like, what was the final score of that game?
It was pretty high. I don't remember.
Yeah, I like the over in it just because, you know, they don't play D. Purdue does have the mutant.
There were some very interesting calls in that game, 77-71. Very interesting calls in that game. The whole game. I mean, Mutant should have been in foul trouble right out the gate. Edie should have had 3 fouls in the first half and then started the second half, should have had 3 fouls. They weren't calling him on him. You get that motherfucker out of the game, they're nothing. Like, they weren't calling any fouls on Edie the whole time.
It's crazy. I think they seem like they're a little better than last year in the back.
They are better than last year. Edie's better. Edie's
better
than last year. Last year, he was missing a lot of that shit right by the basket. He was bouncing out. This year, he's automatic when he gets inside. Yeah. He should score 52 points a game, though. They should go to him every single play.
I mean, how do you not throw it inside to him? Every time down the court, I'd be like,
they don't. They go stretches where they don't. And they're still going to get bounced in the second round. Good luck if it makes the second weekend. Anything from last night? Any takeaways from last night? Kansas with a full throttle at K-State. We were all over Florida. Florida with a domination.
Like I said yesterday, that was my favorite pick. But I'll tell you what, man. Boise State disappointed me, man.
I told you, man. Dude, guys, stop fucking with Nevada, people. Stop fucking with Nevada, bro.
They don't lose in
Boise. Dude, Nevada is nasty. They are 8-3 on the road in the Mountain West, Howie.
Yeah, they're good.
That's a big number in the Mountain West. Nevada's nasty, bro. I'm telling you.
They're solid. There's no doubt about it.
UNLV with a nice upset win for me there over San Diego State.
Yeah.
South Florida rolls again, undefeated, this fucking team in conference play. And then VCU fucking shit on themselves.
Oh, God. Well, I didn't realize the guard went out like the first 5 minutes.
That killed him. Yeah, once he went out. That was a bad injury. I saw that. I should have cashed out. But I didn't because I'm greedy. But anyway, let's talk about tonight, how we do. We got some good games on the slate today, Wednesday, big college basketball day. Starting it off with Houston, number one in the country, at UCF, who's been a fucking giant killer this year. Does Houston have enough to hang in this game? It's 8.5. I mean, does UCF have enough to hang in this game? They have some monster wins when they weren't supposed to.
If it was earlier in the season, I'd say yes.
I agree with you.
But we're getting to the time now where coaches are like, look, man, we're not messing around. This is all business. You got to pull this team out. And UCF's going to have problems tonight, I think.
I do agree with you. Houston beat them by I think it was like fucking 6-4 the final in this game at Houston, right? What was it? 57-42. Last time these two played. So I would expect a low scoring affair.
Big parlay tonight.
Houston.
Yep.
Yeah, I think Houston should handle it. Like I like how we said, if this was December, I'd be on UCF, but not at this time of year. A couple other big ranked games. How we got Tennessee at South Carolina. We like this South Carolina team, number 17 in the country. I don't love this Tennessee team. I feel they're a little overrated. Getting 5.5 with South Carolina. Does Tennessee go in and whip their ass, or does South Carolina get the dunker?
My favorite. I love South Carolina.
I like them.
Even to win the game.
I do. I like both. I think like Tennessee's a little overrated. And let me see what I have as the line here. South Carolina. I don't know where it went. What time is this game at? Oh, there it is. South Carolina. South Carolina 14-2 at home. Tennessee's been good on the road, but getting 5.5 for a team that's 14-2 on the road with a similar record. I mean, this is a good South Carolina team, Howie. We're going to take this 5.5, and we're going to take this plus 200. 10-6 on location against the spread, South Carolina. Tennessee, although they are 7-3 on the road, they're 4-6 against the spread on the road. So we got some nice edges here on South Carolina, I think, in this one. I like Arkansas against LSU today, Howie. sick in the same conference.
I mean, yeah, I would think that's a good spot for them to bounce back. Although, man, LSU's a team that they're playing 1,000 times better the second half of the season than the first. They were bad.
They are. BYU on the road at Iowa State, looking at a 7.5-point spread for the Mormons, who, as we said, have not been good on the road this year, had that one out-of-body experience against Kansas on the road. Iowa State take care of business here. What are you looking at here?
That's this game to me.
Cross it off.
I hate it because
cross it off.
Iowa State could blow them out. BYU could win the game.
Yeah, I think this is.
BYU had that one. Where'd they go to Kansas and win?
Kansas. They went to Kansas first win in like fucking year and a half again. At fucking Rock Chalk. But I'm the same way. I love this BYU team. Not in this spot today. Iowa State undefeated at home. Last two ranked games, Kentucky, who me and you both think can make a deep, deep run in this tournament, playing Vanderbilt minus 17.5. Which looks
they probably win by 20 or 30.
Yeah.
And then it will depend on how many guys Calipari pulls, how quickly. But I can see this a 25-30-point game.
Yeah. And then we got the last ranked game before I get to the ones you like. I would do a Utah State on the road. We don't love the Mormons on the road. San Jose State's not a good team, 9-21. So I'm just 10.5-point spread. I'm just staying the fuck off that.
Well, what about UConn at Marquette?
That's the one I forgot. Yeah. I have no idea. That's all you.
Listen, one thing everyone needs to know is that line right now is 5.5, UConn minus 5.5. Tyler Kolek's out. I mean, that's their leading scorer, that left-handed guard.
UConn should be in the money line then.
Yeah. I mean, I don't see how they lose without Kolek's half their offense, and he's not playing, so he's hurt.
Yeah. So how many games he missed?
Is this
the first one, or did he miss the last one? Did he get hurt in the last game?
Yeah, and they say he's going to be out for another week or so.
They're nothing without Kolek. Yeah, I totally forgot that. I haven't done it. I don't do the injury research until after the show, closer to tip, because in college it's impossible to find. So looking at 1 o'clock doesn't even matter. So if Kolek's out, yes, UConn money line all day.
Yeah.
All day. Yeah, I kind of like UConn with Kolek.
That's the other part of my parlay.
Yeah, I like that.
Houston, UConn minus 124.
Yeah, I like that. I think that.
That's good.
UConn should roll them. What else you like doing?
My bet.
I kind of like Florida Atlantic in this spot.
Oh, I'm all over Florida Atlantic tonight.
They're playing North Texas. It's not a tournament game, but Florida Atlantic's another one of those teams that is starting to pick it up late. They have to. They got to just go on a roll here to get back to where they were last year. So I like them tonight.
I am, as you guys know, I think Florida Atlantic is the best team in the country. I literally think that. I'm an insane person. I know I'm a fucking insane person. They're not even ranked, okay? So remember this going forward that I'm saying it. I think this team is built for big games at big times. We watched them. We rode them last year to the fucking Final Four. This is the same exact team. It's the same exact team. No one left. Literally, they didn't lose anyone from this team for the next year.
7 foot one Golden in the
Golden's
middle.
A monster, and then a bunch of guards who rebound and shoot the three around them. So I really like them for tournament play. And I love them tonight. I mean, you guys know I don't bet road teams ever, but they're 11-3 on the road or whatever the fuck it is. So North Texas, I'm laying this 135. It's Florida. FAU's winning this game today. And if they get down, they're probably one of the best teams to live bet if they get down big, because they do not quit and they come back. Wow. They come back from 20-something point deficits, in 3 minutes. So, I love FAU tonight. Give me one more, Howie.
The other one that I like tonight is you got Xavier playing Butler, and I do like Butler tonight at minus 1.5.
Okay.
I think it's a momentum game. They kind of have to win. They still are not out of it. Good guards. I like Butler tonight.
I do like Butler, but Xavier's been bad on the road. 3-7 on the road. I like, but I don't bet Butler, so I probably won't bet the game. But I agree with you. If I'm going to pick a side, I'm definitely going to pick Butler. I'll give the final one here, and I'll get your input on it. How we do it? I can't bet this in Jersey, but Seton Hall's at home to Villanova. This looks like a Seton Hall lock spot, but Villanova's been playing fucking good, man. I'm actually on Villanova on the road today, and I never take road teams, but what do you think?
You take out Kadari Richmond at Seton Hall, and they just don't have the numbers. Mm-hmm. They haven't been playing well lately, and Villanova has, but they've been shooting the shit out of it. I like Villanova tonight in that spot.
I like it too. Yeah, I don't bet road teams, but this game's being played in Newark Prudential Center. I'm going Villanova in this one. So, all right, Howie Dewey, we're gonna get some golf content now.
All right, let's go.
All right, brother. Talk to you soon. All right, Ev, we got who? We got Scarface and Price, or just Scarface?
Just Scarface.
Scarface. Sorry, we're a little bit late here, my brother. Appreciate you hanging with us. What's up, bro? How was last week? How's life? How's things?
Life is awesome. Last week and PJ kind of sucked for us. Some of the guys that we talked about on the show, Svensson, McNeely. McNeely did okay. Svensson missed the cut. It was a tough course. The weather kind of came into effect a little bit. It's just one of those courses where there's so much variance. It was just
You said that going in. It was like the Daytona 500 of golf courses where the top guys could fit, not even make the cut, possibly, right?
The top 10, the leaderboard was just guys that, you know, nobody was on.
Never even heard of. No. 1% owned DFS guys, I'm assuming, and shit, right?
Exactly.
All right. What are we looking at this week? What tournament we got? I see Rory's on the board here. Is this the Palmer?
This is the Arnold Palmer.
Okay. So you should have all the big guns playing, right?
It's an elevated event, just like we saw at the Genesis a few weeks ago. It's a 69 man field. The top 50 will be making the cut, plus anybody within 10 shots of the lead will also be making a cut. So it's just like we saw at the Genesis, same kind of format that we see at the Masters. It's one of the stickiest tournaments when it comes to course history. So guys like the studs that we're going to see, Scotty, Rory, Hovland, Spieth, they always do well at this tournament. It's one of those Florida courses, so we're going to see, you know, windy conditions, a lot of water. It ranks as one of the hardest courses on tour. We typically see guys who are elite long iron players do well here, guys who are long and accurate off the tee. There's a lot of thick rough on the course, so guys with long irons are going to be able to use that to their advantage. I mean, that's why you see the top players in the world do so well here.
Okay, and obviously Arnie built this course, and he was one of the best golfers in the history of the world, so he's going to make it a little tougher on these guys. There, I do have a question for you here. I'm just looking at the list. I obviously did do a lot of DFS golf at a time. Haven't been doing it as much, just kind of tell you guys now. Who the fuck is Ludvig Åberg? I'm looking at this list, and it's like, I know Hovland, I know Cantlay, Shoffley, Fleetwood, Morikawa, Burns, Thomas, Young. I know everyone except this guy who's like sixth highest odds. Is this guy new or something?
I mean, he just came onto the tour in the last year or so. He's got one of the best skill sets on tour. I mean, the kid just like, he's like this prodigy. He's like
just a young stud. All right, that's why I don't
awesome
know him.
Skill set, hits the ball a mile long. Tee to green, his numbers are, you know, perfect. It's just a matter of time before this dude just starts taking over the tour. This year he's had a good year so far. This year he hasn't missed the cut. He finished second at Pebble Beach. He finished ninth at the Farmers. He finished 19th at the Genesis. So, I mean, he's right there. He's one of the guys that me and Price are going to be on DFS this week. I don't know if I'm going to be betting him, but he's just like one of these young guns that are come on.
That makes sense, because I got on this tournament, I got to go all the way down to Jake Knapp at plus 6,000 to see someone I don't know. So right. For this kid to be just jammed in there at the top, I was like, what the fuck is that? All right.
It's an elevated event, so you're going to see all the studs. I mean, what's his odds right now? 18-1, I think?
He's plus 1,800.
So who
are we looking at here? Who do we like from a kind of not chalk? There is no chalk, obviously. You're looking at plus 800 for everybody in golf, but a little bit of a chalkier perspective. Some guys that have a more realistic shot, and then a couple long shots that you're looking at on this.
So the guys that have realistic shots is probably the two favorites. So Scotty at plus 650, Rory at plus 850. They're just the skill set in their course history here. It's just hard to look over, you know. So far this year, we haven't seen many favorites come out on top in any of these tournaments. We've seen a lot of long shots, but this is just one of those courses where I think you're going to see Scotty or Rory definitely in the top five. And I could see either one of them winning this tournament. Scotty has a fourth place finish here. He's won in 2022, 15th in 2020. Rory has second place. He's won, I think, once or twice here. They're always in the top five, these guys. So,
right. If you're betting, and you got a smaller field with no cut, so you don't have the risk of a horrible field. First round where you can't.
You're getting almost four guaranteed rounds.
Yeah, exactly.
you know, the cream will rise to the top in this tournament.
Exactly. Yeah. A lot of times you get that bad first round and you only have one round to make it up. Here you got three rounds to make it up and come back. All right. Now let's get a little length here.
You want to get some guys. Let's get cuter. I mean,
let's get a little frisky here.
Going down the list a little bit. I mean, guy that me and Price both talked about on last night's show is Sam Burns, who had a rough 2023, but so far this season, he has not missed the cut. He has four top 10 finishes in the last four events, including third place at the Waste Management. He had a 10th place at the Genesis, which was an elevated event just like this one. So he has good course history here. He finished 9th in 2022, and he has his form and skill set. He's got the skill set to contend here. His form's awesome. He's plus 2,800 to win outright and plus 240 to top 10. So he's somebody that both me and Price are on.
Okay.
Going down the list a little bit more, you want to get even cuter.
I want to look like I'm going to prom. Let's get cute.
Yeah. Harris English. He's been playing awesome this year. He finished 7th at the Genesis a few weeks back, 17th at the Waste Management. Awesome course history here, including a second place finish here last year. He's plus 5K to win, but we're kind of more interested in him top fiving at plus 1,000. Top 10-ing at plus 400.
Okay, we like that. All right, so that's some good stuff there. I don't want you to give the whole fucking ball of wax away because you guys just did a show last night. For any new viewers, tell them about the show, tell them about the time, tell them about where they can find it.
Yeah, so we record the show on Tuesday nights, 11 o'clock Eastern, me and Price. We do our we break down the course. We do our DFS breakdown. We talk about ownership. We talk about lineup construction. We dig up these nuggets that you're not going to find anywhere else. We like to take shots on guys that we've been watching, guys that we think are going to make runs. We tend to go towards low owned guys, and we've been Price always finds these diamonds in the rough when it comes to these DFS plays. He put me on a couple guys like Sammy Valimaki a couple weeks back, who nobody was on, finished a second. He was the first one on Matthew Pavon a few weeks back, ends up winning the tournament. So, I mean, we tend to dig up these nuggets on our show, and it's only about, you know, half hour to 40 minutes long. We don't bore you with a bunch of shit. We just get right to the meat and potatoes.
Are you trying to say that this show bores people with shit?
Never. When the fuck do you ever bore?
But yeah, so we got to start promoting it a little better. I don't get tag me in that whenever you guys do the show. So whenever you guys put the show out, make sure you tag me in that, because you not only have, you know, two of the best golf minds in the world, but, you know, I mean, you play size, you know, you play heavy. So, you know, you've been knocking down $200,000, $300,000, $400,000 wins throughout all the sports throughout your history here. So if you guys want to follow someone who really puts their money where their mouth is, instead of these guys on the radio who just sit there and tell you all the shit they're playing and they got $2 in entry fees, you know, Scarface is out there laying his fucking balls on the table and usually coming home with six-figure take-homes every other week. So
playing the exact same plays that we're talking about on the show. And then we do put up our core plays on the site, both me and Price. And Price also puts out some of his bets on there too, most of his bets. Mm-hmm. And then he wanted me to mention, he couldn't be on the show today, but a tournament matchup play that he likes a lot this week, Sahith Theegala minus 110 over Eric Van Rooyen is one of his favorite plays of the week. So I wanted me to put that out for him.
I watched Theegala on, I think he was on that golf show on Netflix, right?
I think, yeah, season two just started.
Yeah, I think I saw him in season one on one of those shows. All right, Scarface, keep killing it, brother. We appreciate it. We love having you here. We love having you a part of the team, my dude.
My man, anytime. I'll see you guys next week.
All right, bro. Right. Love you, bro. Be good. All right. Bill, you got anything going in PGA this week?
No. No, I don't get into golf until the Masters starts.
Okay, the Masters.
That's when I start.
All right. What do we got in the
NBA? Right now, soccer starts at 3 o'clock. I'm doing a parlay. Erling Haaland to score an anytime goal and OKC to win tonight. Minus
Haaland plays again? Didn't he just play?
You know, days ago.
Wow.
Minus 157 and starts at 3 o'clock. So I parlayed it with OKC because he's minus 210 to score a goal. So you could take it, you know, I'm parlaying with OKC just because they're minus 900. I think they kill tonight, but you could take it whatever you want. And then I'm taking him for 2+ goals, plus 200, and a hat trick is plus 650. Small bets, though. That's just sprinkles. But the main bet is Haaland anytime goal, OKC money line, minus 157. And then if you want 2+ goals is 200, and a hat trick is plus 650. But those are smaller bets. You know, they should kill this team by the, especially by the line being minus like 100,000 to advance. And Foden's not starting, so that gives Holland more of a chance to score.
Is today the day that we have that Man City thing?
What Man City thing?
The Man City minus 100,000.
That's what I just said. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So what were you saying with that? You didn't have that in there. You just had Holland and the Thunder.
Yeah. I said Foden's not playing, so Holland should have a better chance to score, especially early.
Why wouldn't we go Man City on the money line minus 800 instead of the Thunder?
Man City minus 800. Oh, just for them to win.
Yeah. Can we do that?
Calculation. I mean, yeah, you can. I just do it. I like to mix it up. I like to do OKC.
All right, because Man City, that is the, yeah, minus 100,000, right? So I could do Man City on a money line with Holland and get that down. Just put it all in one game for the afternoon.
Yep.
All right, that's what I'm going to do. I'm gonna put those together. Goals. And let me just see what that comes out. Sometimes you don't get as much juice.
Sometimes you don't get the same because
of where are you looking at the Holland anytime goal scorer number?
On FanDuel.
On FanDuel? Okay.
Yeah,
all right, so he's minus 210. Yeah, you're only minus 193 if you do it that way.
Yeah, so it's better.
That's why I'm gonna put him with UConn. Let's do UConn. If you put him with UConn, it's plus 114. That's what I'm gonna do. Yeah, all right, cool. What do you like in the NBA?
All these games suck tonight. I'm probably gonna take the Lakers once I see the lineups and everything tonight. I'm not 100% sure, but I'm probably gonna take them to beat the Kings. The Bucks have injuries. I don't know what's going on in that game. You know, they just came up plus 130. The rest of these games are god awful. I'm not betting Clippers on the road. Cavs had a dramatic win last night. And the Hawks, you never know. Orlando played last night, but the Wizards suck. So I'm going to go to a parlay, or not a parlay. I'm going to go to straight bet. Kevin Herter tonight in that. Kings Lakers game, 10 plus points is minus 140.
Okay. All right. 10 plus points. The Bucks game is something I'm looking at here. I don't know. You're looking at Middleton's out. He should be back on March 8th from what I'm seeing. Crowder's a game time decision. Beauchamp's a game time decision. And Giannis's game time decision. And the Warriors are clean. Part of me wants to take the 4.5 here, but part of me thinks this is a sucker bet because that line looks.
And the Warriors got embarrassed by like 50.
Yeah, Warriors. This is their first game after that 50.
I believe so. I'm not 100%.
Let me see. Yes, it is. It is. Yeah. So they should be coming out for death. They should be coming out for blood. I mean, listen, the way the Bucks have been playing, as long as Dame Lillard's going to be on the court, I'm interested. I'll probably take a little stab on it, but I wouldn't be surprised if the Bucks lose this game. But going and getting, what's the money line on that? Well, probably 150 or something. 152 is the best line that's out there. Yeah, I'll take a little stab. Throw them in a parlay with somebody. And then you think the Lakers handle business tonight against the Kings?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
The everyone's in.
But your favorite, obviously, big money line one, minus 900 would be the Thunder. Thunder line, you jumped. Wow. Minus 9 to minus 13. All right. Let's move over to some hockey. Rackets, you have anything on any of those?
No. I have some tennis, though, when we get to it.
All right, cool. Let's move over to some hockey here. Some fire on ice yesterday. I mean,
we could have went to the game last night. It was a great fucking game. I mean, Florida won. I got money on that. We could have been there, bro. I had the tickets. $120, all free food. Fucking.
$120.
Yeah, Tommy let me down, dude.
I mean, listen, it was raining. It was shitty. It was disgusting.
Free buffet. Lock
in. Let me know next time. I'm in. Evan, what bets did I give these people on Stay Cashin' yesterday as I declared myself the single greatest hockey handicapper in the U.S. of A, which I obviously am, and it's not close. I believe I gave these people three bets on this show yesterday, Evan Hand.
You did. You gave them Panthers, Canucks, and Kraken.
Hold on. Let's go one by one.
Panthers.
Win.
Canucks.
Win.
Kraken.
What was the odds on that?
Plus 150.
Win.
W.
Make it do what it do, baby. I just make it do what it do. Minus 110, minus 120, plus 150. I make it do what it fucking do. Took me 3 months to become the best hockey handicapper in the entire fucking world. 3 months, Evan. I didn't even watch fucking hockey a year ago.
Three months.
That's all it took me. fucking best. And there's three games today. I've been three games. 3 months, three games. And guess what?
Hit them all.
I got four plays. I got four plays, Evan, on three games.
Hit them all.
Four plays, three games. I got 1.33 plays per game tonight for you. And Rackets, if you could pull up the Beeble Bop, let me know what you're thinking here. Buffalo Sabres play today, Rackets. I see you smirking. Is it because you think I'm going to come at your head here?
I always
think. I'm going back. I'm going back to the Sabres. I'm on fucking in the passenger seat. We got some plus money coming in today on these bets. I like the Sabres in this spot. Plus 160, I think, is the best line that's out there. Plus 160. Let me tell you where that line is. I believe that line is on PointsBet. We have a plus 150 on FanDuel, plus 158 on Caesars. So it's between plus 150 and 160. Listen, whenever you're looking at going against a minus 200 favorite, we're taking a shot like we did with the Kraken last night. I just think that's a lot of value right now, Rackets, for your Buffalo Sabres. You like the 1.5 on that?
Yeah.
1.5 is good. I'm actually going to go up top on that in a second, go even higher. But you like the 1.5 on a Beeble Bop. I like the plus 160. Obviously, the Maple Leafs are a fantastic team who's been playing great. Not as great as you'd think at home, shockingly.
Lucan is really good, too.
Yeah, dude. Buffalo's got a lot. This Buffalo team can make a run. Like, I like this Buffalo team. I'm on board with them.
Next year, they're going to be – they're going to just do some damage.
Probably a year away. But, I mean, listen, Tage is a monster, too. I love Tage Thompson.
Tage Thompson's my guy.
Tage Thompson. When I found out a few years ago that in the clubhouse, one of his nicknames was the Meat Rocket, I mean, find me a better nickname than that. But the Maple Leafs actually, shockingly, are only 17-12 at home for a team that's 35-18. They're 18-6 on the road and 17-12 at home. So the Leafs
You get a lot of Buffalo fans up in Toronto, too.
And I was just going to say, you're right there, right? And we've seen this with the Leafs in the playoffs, too. They actually struggle at home in their playoff games, and they're better on the road once you get away. So I think there's a live spot for the Sabres here. I think it's a live spot for the Wings here, too. I know we don't like going against the Colorado Avalanche. Great home team, 24-6. Wings have been good on the road. Red Wings are actually, I think they're above 500 on the road. Yes, they are. And Avalanche here, this line is more of a line play, Rackets. This opened up at the Lanch minus 220, and it's down to 195 in some books. Let me just see what the consensus is here. So in most books, it's still 200, 210, 205, 200, 196 at FanDuel, which is the one that I look at the closest because they're the biggest cheaters. 94% of the public is on the Avalanche here, Rackets. And the line's dropped 25 cents on FanDuel. Got to take a stab on the 175 on the Wings, right? So I'm going to take a little stab on the Red Wings, plus 175. And then the Ducks have been playing very well. The Senators, I don't really understand why this line's moving. A lot of public action on the Sens here. This thing is opened at minus 138. I think that was a faulty line. That shouldn't have been 138 at any point. It's up to 190, 185, 160 at Caesars, 185 on BetMGM, 194 on FanDuel. 88% of the country. The public is on the Sens again. And the Ducks are getting plus 175 in this spot. I just don't think Ottawa's that good. I mean, you're talking about a team who's on the road, and Ottawa's not been playing well. I mean, to be sitting here laying like 200 with the Ottawa Senators right now, who've lost four straight games, and it's not like they're losing them to all monster teams. They lost to Arizona. They lost to Washington, Nashville, Philly, and then beat Vegas in a shootout. Ducks have been playing well, dude. Ducks have actually been playing well. They beat the fucking Devils the other day. They hung tight with Nashville. They went to overtime with the Kings. They beat the Sharks. And then 2 days ago, they 2-1 game against Vancouver. I like the Ducks in this spot for a little bit. So I'm taking all three dogs on a stab. What are you on the Beeble Bop there on the Ducks?
Let me pull up the Ducks game. Hold on. Give me a second.
Matty Ice has a college.
Is it starting now?
No, 7 o'clock.
All right, let me just finish this, and then we'll go to that right there.
Ducks, right. It has over 6.5 as the number one play, but hold on.
Okay, so you like the over on that?
Mm-hmm. It's loading the matchup thing.
Louisiana Tech, 7 o'clock.
Okay,
college baseball. Ducks, 1.5, 59%.
Okay. So, yes, I like the Ducks in that one to keep this one close. Again, we only need to really win one of these, basically. Like, when one, you basically break even. You win two, you smash because they're getting plus 170. The final play is going to be one of my favorite plays of the day, the fourth play. I'm actually going to be taking the Ducks plus 2.5 at home against the struggling Senators who are losing four in a row and now going at Anaheim. Ducks plus 2.5, Wings plus 3.5, Sabres plus 3.5. So we're going all the way up top. I've never done a plus 3.5. We usually do 2.5 for two teams to get even money. It's minus 128 on MGM. It's minus 162 on DraftKings. So bet that on MGM. 3.5 from the Sabres, 3.5 from the Wings, 2.5 on the Ducks on the goal line, minus 128. I think that's good value there. That's one of my favorite plays of the day for hockey. And then we'll end the Tommy Puck's Fire on Ice section. Bill, just to repeat, Matty Ice College Baseball is on what?
Louisiana Tech.
Louisiana Tech? What's the line on that?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't see it on FanDuel, so I don't know.
Okay. All right, we'll see if you can get that information there. FanDuel's usually a little light with those. And then Rackets, you said you might have some tennis plays for us.
Yeah, I have. Well, I missed one because she broke the first game of the thing. But Daria Saville, minus 116, and Caroline Wozniacki, minus 130.
Okay.
That I have.
Say that again.
Daria Saville, minus 116, and Caroline Wozniacki, minus 130.
Okay, so Wozniacki and Saville. I think that's it. I think we're done. We have anything else, Bill?
No.
No? All right. Evan, did you have a headline you wanted to squeak in here on the back end before we get out?
I mean, Archie Manning being a diva.
1-0 Man City, 4 minutes into the game.
Yeah, they're going to beat them by 100, I think. What'd you say? Archie Manning being a diva? What happened there?
He said he doesn't want to be in the new college football game because he wants to focus on real life football instead of...
So you're talking about Arch Manning?
Yeah, I mean...
Yeah. Arch Manning. Yeah, I get it. But... So he doesn't want to be in the football game. Why?
Because he wants to focus on real life football and not on the game.
I'm so sick of these kids. First of all, I'm sick of the whole Mannings fucked up the NFL for generations. I mean, you should have had Peyton Manning on the Jets and Eli Manning on the Chargers. That's what should have happened. And it changes the whole face of football.
He didn't want to go to that shit franchise.
I know. He didn't want to go there. Exactly. He didn't want to go to shit franchise. I'm well fucking aware. Because if Peyton Manning goes to the Jets instead of going back to college because he didn't want to go to the Jets.
Then I'd be a Jets fan.
Jets have Peyton Manning. Belichick never leaves when Parcells is there. And you have Peyton Manning and Bill Belichick on the Jets for the foreseeable future. Tom Brady probably never gets drafted. And the whole fucking world changes. I mean, it would have been fucking insane. Or Tom Brady would have got drafted by Belichick to the Jets and backed up Peyton Manning. And you would have had Manning and Brady for the Jets for that 20-year period. You'd have got fucking weird. If that would have happened. And then Eli Manning to the Chargers. The Giants never win 2 Super Bowls and never ruined the Patriots' undefeated season. So it would make sense that Arch Manning is about to fucking start with the crazy shit before he's ever even really played a full season as a starter.
Yeah.
So buckle up. This is the beginning. This is the beginning of the Manning experience with Arch Manning. And Bill Rupp, final words.
Rubbing Rackets, 5:30 on Spaces.
Twitter Spaces, 5:30. Follow at Rupp45, 5:30 p.m. on the nose. Rackets.
Yep, 5:30. Right on the nose.
Yep. Final words. Yep. Have an hand.
29 free bets today. This is a free show. We gave out 29 bets. Rigged.
It is rigged. That is rigged. And we would expect you to fucking
I have us. One more, but tune into Rupp and Rackets, 5:30 to find out.
Yeah. Yeah, and when we win, go fucking tip us on Twitter, you fucking freeloading fucks. How about that? Guys, put your tips up there so people can tip you. We'll stop giving free bets. Just tell them to go fuck themselves. They don't start sending us money. That is it. Get over to 4deep.com, 50% off the 2-month promo. I'm really going to end it this week, I think, or maybe not. But
he lied again, Bill.
There. I did lie. I'm not going to end it.
He lied again.
Swindley G. 2-month promo still live, 50% off. Go there right now. We are fucking, we are rocking. We got tons of bets, tons of activity, tons of action, tons of fun at the what was the county fair, Bill, they used to play on the commercials? All that action, all that fun at the Ben fair.
Oh, at
tons of action, tons of fun at the something county fair. It wasn't Raceway Park. I'm thinking Raceway Park.
I'll remember it.
Yeah, all right. For Rupp, tune into Rupp and Rackets and find out how the end of that song goes.
Bill sings the jingle.
None of fun at the Raceway County Fair. Raceway County Fair?
Oh, no.
I can think about it. Rupp and Rackets will tell you. For Joey Rackets, Bill Rupp, Evan Hand, Howie Dewey, and the great Scarface. Make sure you go to YouTube, check out the golf show that's already there on demand to get all your plays in for DFS and betting for this week's Arnold Palmer Invitational. Good luck. Stay cashing, motherfuckers.
Let's go!